Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back with us Matthias Bennett, who is going to be talking today about the archangelic realms. I think before we talked about intuitive development, Matthias has an interest in metaphysics, the higher realms, and is helping people learn about them as we approach the shift where this is going to be so much more important. Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You're welcome. I guess, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll start the discussion.
Sure. Well, basically what I do is I help help individuals tune into the beauty of who they are at a soul level, so they can be able to pursue their purpose based on just who they are and also on the most accurate reality that they can perceive.
Okay.
So I've been doing this for about 2 years and have had the opportunity to do this with the scores of people. And one of the particular aspects for a particular session that I do, a soul profile and realignment session, is the archangelic realms of training, which I'm happy to share about today.
Right. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so really, it's based on the archangelic realms of training is based on this idea and this premise, and this is held true for the many clients that I've had. And it's this idea is that when our soul is created, we actually let me backtrack. There are places in the universe that are that uphold particular groups of energies that are archangelic realms. And there's actually a connection that we have with each of our seven chakras to seven of these archangelic realms. And so when our soul is created, we actually, those of us that are on a path of love and light, we choose to, quote-unquote, go and be in a particular archangelic realm and get steeped in these energies of that realm, and then we express those energies on every future incarnation, whether it be on Earth or elsewhere.
So did the seven archangelic realms, are they the particular archangels, or is it something other, another way of looking at them?
That is correct. That's correct. They correspond with seven archangels.
Okay, so like Michael would be protection.
Yes, there's
security,
yes, and that would be
protection, military, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and in this frame of reference, that's associated with the sixth chakra, the idea of spiritual sight, being able to see and perceive truth.
Okay, good. Well, I guess we need to go through what the realms are so people can sort of, people should be able to identify what realm they're associated with in many cases, right? Because they're, it's what they, read about, it's what they're, what grabs their attention, maybe their job is in that line of work.
Yes, that is often the case. And I'd be happy to go
sure.
over them in brief. So just starting from the bottom up, the first
okay.
is the archangelic realm of Ariel. And essentially this has to do with those with this archangelic realm of training are very connected to the earth. They're very grounded people.
Mm-hmm. they could be farmers or gardeners, landscapers.
Yeah. That's a really good good line of work. And then there's also for example, might have an affinity for spiritual practices that have to do with Native American traditions or indigenous tribal traditions, crystals and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the second?
So, the second is associated with the Archangel Zadkiel. And essentially, this having to do with the sacral chakra, having to do with creation and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And those with this archangelic realm are they're either people who they manifest really easily. So sometimes they're embarrassed about, like, gosh, I just seem to manifest things in the physical realm. And so people who have this realm of training could be very successful businessmen. They could interestingly be doulas and midwives, helping bring souls into the physical realm and the physical world.
Right.
And basically, the gift that these souls have to bring and to show is that we are here in this physical experience, and it's possible and it's okay to be able to manifest and enjoy our experience in the physical realm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, why come down here if all you're going to do is think about the higher realms all the time?
That's right.
And in fact, a lot of my guides, are telling me to do this or that, or, my angels are expressing this, that they'd rather have me go do this. A lot of times I say, well, if you think you can do this better, you come down here and do it. Fun discussion.
That's right.
I'm joking, of course. I need the guidance. Because, of course, they can see stuff I can't see, obviously.
Yeah, and it's
I don't
it's
know whether
amazing.
I told you the last time we talked, but I actually saw my guardian angel in the physical.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was agnostic. I didn't know what, I was kind of young and not, I'd studied all the religions and kind of found benefit in all of them, but really didn't believe in anything concrete. And then in my dorm room at Johns Hopkins, I was taking a nap and woke up, and I was awake. I mean, I was not asleep. And looked around, there was a golden light in the room, looked around, and there was my guardian angel, who was a male warrior class that was very I was very frightened. I just froze. And every clairvoyant I'd ever gone to for the next 20 years began with, your guardian angel came to see you, and you were too frightened to talk to him. And then you probably heard of Doreen Virtue. She's one of the world's experts on angels. I was interviewing her on the radio show, and she said, yeah, you frequently get into, you defend the underdog, which, I have in my books and everything, and you frequently piss off the powers that be, you actually have two male class warrior guardian angels because you need them.
Yeah.
So actually, I have a very close relationship with my guardian angels because, of course, I've had to use them so extensively in the last few years. So, but anyway, that's my angel story.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, after that, I did not doubt that God existed. Okay, and that was and again, it was not necessarily. I was not seeing necessarily in this realm. I think I was seeing in the higher realm, but it was in my dorm room, and it was pretty. It was a pretty interesting time. But anyway, let's go back to the second chakra.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of, just the elements of physicality and sexuality and creation.
Uh-huh.
Those are the energies. If someone has a particular archangelic realm, that realm, then
right.
then that
so you
is
create.
Yeah.
And like
the
Ted
important
Turner
thing to
is
remember,
probably second chakra.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, many many businessmen and entrepreneurs have that knack.
Right. And the third.
Yeah. And the third is associated with Archangel Zadkiel. Mm-hmm. And what this is the realm of law and order and of balance.
Okay.
And so it's like form and function.
Right.
And so many, yeah, and so many souls who have this archangelic realm, they are either, for example, programmers, computer programmers. Sometimes they are, you know, interior designers, you know, industrial designers. You know, it's interesting you say that because that could be too. That could very well. Part of this realm is that it's the realm that governs karma. So it actually is kind of like, you know, one of my clients who is this archangelic realm, he's a lawyer by trade.
Well, that's what we're, especially if you're a corporate attorney, providing structure and contracts. Whereas if you're more protection and security, you might be defending, you know, people who are falsely accused or, you know, stuff like that. Or going through to make sure that everybody that is in prison is actually supposed to be there and not put there by mistake. You know, attorneys do that. So that would be protection.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great differentiation.
It is. No, I mean, it's very different. Law and medicine both have multiple things in them. Not all medicine is healing. Medicine actually falls under money, which is interesting. But anyway.
Yeah.
I digress.
No, it's wild. So yeah, but that's just like a snapshot of the third one. And actually, I've got a story that I'll tell a little bit in a little bit about this third chakra with a client that I'm excited about. But I'd be happy to continue to the fourth, which is Archangel Raphael of the heart. And so really. Yeah, so, you know, those with this archangelic realm are, you know, they're the people who give the healers. They can also just really, you know, those people who were just have this unconditional love and you just feel
they're
it exude from them.
They're working the Peace Corps, you know, they just give.
Yeah, and that's what
Jesus was on, by the way. He was of that chakra.
Yeah, I that makes perfect sense to me.
Well, these line up with something else that we can discuss a little bit later, but it's basically the great seven rays.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, and that's the anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm and
this
it's interesting you mentioned that.
Play with the other. Yeah, it does. But it's you're relating to chakras, which is really interesting because the other one doesn't relate to chakras.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I haven't done a lot of, you know, work with and studying on the seven, you know, the different rays, and so I'd be interested to hear your perspective to see how that.
What you really need to do is get Alice Bailey's book called The Rays and Initiations, because that's the core of that. But I can talk a little bit about it later if we have some time. Unfortunately, we're short on time. But anyway, so these would be people who are giving.
Yes.
And healers.
Yeah. And sometimes giving to a fault. So it's just really important to recognize that you know, for those individuals that unconditional love for themselves. Mm-hmm. And self-care for themselves is the most important thing.
Right. Okay, the fifth chakra.
The fifth is Archangel Gabriel. Mm-hmm. And this is about, you know, those with this archangelic realm of training are teachers. They are, they're sometimes, you know, communicators, musicians. And they're just here to spread and here to give a message.
Doctors, newspapers. Internet, blog, right. People that communicate with me. Radio.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and sometimes that communication either happens whether via voice or also, you know, in other ways, for example, like not saying something but doing something, so where you through actions.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm on, if I look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Books, radio shows, you know, articles, classes, you know. Anyway, okay, next is...
Yeah.
Is that Michael on the 6th?
It is. It is.
Okay.
And so, you know, as we touched on before, really this is... you know, this is the realm of the spiritual warrior. And so those with this realm of training are all about truth. They're,
yeah,
know,
I have a lot of friends who are in that realm. Thank God. Because they offer me incredible protection. But I'm not on that realm. I don't, you know, I mean, I take advice from Michael, but I'm not the spiritual warrior in the sense that many are. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's amazing just to see how that shows up in, you know, whether it is physical protection, spiritual protection, or even just, you know, standing up for that divine truth and to say, okay, no, this is accurate or this is not accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the 7th?
And the 7th is Archangel Kamiel, and this is the realm of energy and of power, and really, well, those with this individuals with this archangelic realm are individuals who are really often energetically sensitive and very tuned into their environment, and often they are, you know, they know themselves to be the creators of their experience, and also you know they're oftentimes energetic healers, and they're really here to show and to remind people to step into the power of who they are as divine beings.
Yeah, we have a lot of those active right now, that's for sure. I guess because
yes.
Somebody learned that. Yeah, <there are. laughs> It's like there's more now than have ever been. I guess people like Norman Vincent Peale were the first people into that, but then, you know, the 60s and 70s had a lot of self-help stuff, and then now it's really significant.
Yeah, yeah, and I will just go ahead and say that this is my archangelic realm of training.
I figured that much. So you help people identify their archangelic realms and then help them get energetic connections to that realm so they can proceed without so many problems?
Yes, that's one aspect of a session, of a soul profile and realignment session that I offer.
Mm-hmm.
The exciting thing, though, is that there is, you know, even though we have a particular archangelic realm of training, and those are the energies that we really fully embody, we energetically work with all the realms.
Mm-hmm.
And so about 2 years, almost 2 years ago, there was a series of 7 meditations called Archangelic Meditations that came through that essentially enables people to, there's 7 meditations correlating with the 7 realms and the 7 chakras, and it essentially allows anyone of any intuitive ability to go through, and it's just a guided visualization to go through and connect to whatever archangelic realm that's associated with, you know, with the chakra that they feel called to do, and then talk with a representative of that realm, and then bring back a piece of intuitive information that they can turn into an affirmation and an action they can integrate into their daily life.
That's great.
Yeah.
To it too.
Yes, yes, and that part of that is a workbook.
Forget about it.
right, yeah, it really came to me as a tool for anyone of any ability, you know, to be able to use to tune into that guidance. And really, it's you know, as simple as asking yes or no questions, you can get something of value.
Why don't you go ahead and give your contact information so we make sure we get that out?
Well, sure. My website is intuitivestrategyconsulting.com, And also for your listeners, I'm happy to offer a pre-sale of a second edition of the Archangelic Meditations for $33.33, can be found at intuitivestrategyconsulting.com/presale, P-R-E-S-A-L-E. And also for the first five people who say yes to that, as I go and re-record that this series of meditations in the workbook, that also includes a half an hour clarity session about any aspect of their life that they are interested in gaining another perspective about.
That's great. Hope people take advantage of that. So you had a story about, we're almost to the end of our hour, or half hour, but you had a story about the third chakra.
Yes. Okay. This is very exciting. So there is actually a client I can't remember how she found me, but she purchased the Archangelic Meditations, the first edition, when I had it up, and then she purchased, she got a Soul Profound realignment session. And during the session, I tuned in, and I tuned in that there was an energetic leak in her third chakra, a tear. And she's like, wow, I actually did that third chakra meditation, and I saw it was like a rip, and there was light coming out in the middle of my chest.
My goodness.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's amazing, because, you know, that was validation for her that she, when she did that before our session, that she tuned in, and that's what she saw. She saw that in her, you know, in that meditation, and then I picked up on it in the session.
Right.
So that was very exciting.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we're up to the half an hour now. If you would, again, please give your contact information so anybody can write it down if they didn't have a pen last time.
Sure. My website is intuitivestrategyconsulting.com, all in word, and you can purchase a pre-sale of the Archangelic Meditations, normally $47, offering for $33.33 at intuitivestrategyconsulting.com/presale.
Great. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. It's been interesting. Do check out the Seven Ray. It's a psychology system that's very good. That was written. It was given through telepathic communication from Master DK, who was at that time a Tibetan in body, to Alice Bailey, who was a paraplegic in California. And she was given 22 books over about, 15 or 20 years. And those books were not to be used then. It was 1922 through 40. They were to be used now. And I went out and bought seven of them, and they sat on my shelf for 7 years before I ever read them, which was interesting. But then I was guided to read them, and they're the basis of a lot of what I know now. I mean, they are the esoteric information that came from the spiritual hierarchy for people like us who are out there helping others who do not understand the significance of the higher realms or what actually is this reality that we live in. So, great to talk to you again today, and we'll get back together when you have more to share.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cole.
Okay. Take care.
You too.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb. At the half an hour, we have Dr. Herb Joyner joining us with a discussion of pencil water and hydration. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770 770- 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
Welcome back to Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week on the 14th, we have Marie Jones, Exposed, Uncovered, and Declassified, Ghost Spirits and Hauntings. Marie's been on a number of times. She and her partner are the written several books on a number of different interesting paranormal topics. They're researchers in this area. On the 21st, Dr. Andrew Campbell will be with me, The Health Effects of Mold and Fungi, The Real Story. Dr. Campbell was interviewed probably in the 90s. He was one of the editors of the Journal of International Toxicology when they had the whole journal on the toxicology of silicone, or the toxicity of silicone. He's back now to talk about mold, and he knows a great deal about breast implants. On the 28th, we have back Stanton Friedman, who is a nuclear physicist. He will be continuing his discussion of flying saucers in science. We've interviewed Stanton before, not on this book, but on another one, and he has a great deal of interesting information about that topic. The Noetic Science meeting is on the 19th at 7:15 at the Dunwoody office. We're having a lecture on aromatherapy by Jamela Franklin, and that is a free meeting. And I think that's the events for this January. We're bringing on Dr. Herb Joyner to talk about hydration in just a minute.
Dr. Herb is with us.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Are you with me?
I'm right here.
Great, great. Thank you. I didn't hear we don't usually do this, so I didn't hear you click in. So are you calling from California?
From Seattle area.
Seattle. Is that right?
That's correct.
Great. Dr. Herb is rejoining us to talk about hydration, the importance of hydration and Penta water. So, welcome.
Nice to be here again, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. So, anything new to share with our listeners?
Well, I'm just going over all the literature that's available on the subject. I'm just, again, reinvigorated by what is possible. I mean, when you look at, I highly recommend this, first of all, the Penta website that has a lot of research information on it, and also the website by Professor Martin Chaplin, who's probably one of the world's leading experts on water. He's at South Bank University in Great Britain. And it demonstrates very clearly the importance of being thoroughly hydrated, because we don't realize that everything that DNA does in our cells, all DNA really can do is actually line up amino acids and strands. But the work after that is done all by water. Water has to take those protein strands and put them together into a form that will allow them to function as they're supposed to and hold everything together. So water is always in the background. And one of the major problems we have is that people are underestimating the amount of water they should be drinking on a regular basis, or drinking the kinds of things that would tend to dehydrate them or cause water not to function optimally. So this does a number of things. It accelerates the aging process. It causes people to feel more fatigued than they need to be. It causes people not to be able to repair proteins as they should. It causes people not to be able to release toxins from the body as they should. So all these things need to be rethought. This is particularly important as we get older. One of the major reasons that older people end up being hospitalized, it's really quite surprising, is dehydration. And if they are, in fact, hospitalized with dehydration, then they end up where within a year of their being hospitalized, they actually may become deceased. They actually may die as a result of that. So there's a lot that's going on. People underestimate the amount of water they need. They also tend to drink water colder than it should be. It should be room temperature or warmer to maintain the optimal functionality of the body. This is something that has been preached by the people who are familiar with traditional Chinese medicine. Room temperature water is the room temperature warmer is the temperature at which water should be consumed. The amazing thing about Penta water is that Bill and Michael Holloway, who invented it, found a way to restructure water so that it goes through the aquaporin water channels in the cell membranes much more efficiently. It gets into the cells and does its magical work better than ordinary water does. And a series of scientific investigations have found that panda water is superior in doing a number of things at the cell level that are quite beneficial.
So one of the things we've noticed with penta is that when you drink it as directed, which is to drink a bottle of water when you first get up,
yes,
and then a bottle of water later in the day, patients report that swelling and other signs of toxicity, especially intracellular, intracellular so much, but in between the cells, that kind of toxicity is relieved.
Yes, it's been shown. They've actually done the studies where you're actually increasing the release into the urine of toxins like phosphates and uric acid and urea and so forth. The blood levels are decreased and the urine levels are increased. You're actually increasing the discharge from the body of all those things that are undesirable. What is so remarkable, it really is mind-boggling. The John Wayne Cancer Institute in the San Diego area actually did some research. We know for a fact that chemotherapy agents get very nauseous. They can't eat, they can't drink. Even ordinary water causes them problems. They found that penta water was the only water that people could tolerate, and as a result of drinking that, they could actually have an increase of energy and were better able to tolerate full-dose chemotherapy because of the benefits of penta water. I know someone whose wife had melanoma on her leg, and she could not handle full-dose chemotherapy beforehand because the liver enzymes kept going up. They kept rising, indicating liver toxicity. As a result of drinking 4 to 6 bottles of penta water a day, she could tolerate full-dose chemotherapy without the increased liver enzymes and was able to go through it and come up with flying colors. So this is, I mean, it seems quite a bold statement for me to let people make that, but the research is there and the anecdotal experience is there. That's why I felt really compelled to express this to your audience.
So let's talk about the number of bottles of water that... my understanding is it's 2 to 3 bottles of water for maintenance. Is that right?
That's true. That will work quite well. I mean, it's something Bill Holloway always mentioned, as you mentioned before, the first bottle in the morning. We're not drinking through the night, so we need to rehydrate quickly first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. So that first bottle in the morning is critical. And then 1 or 2 bottles, maybe 3 bottles, whatever people want to do later in the day is very helpful. If people are engaged in vigorous activity, as with athletes, then, of course, they're going to need to drink more water. Athletic performance has been clearly demonstrated to be enhanced, especially among endurance athletes using penta water. The University of St. Thomas in Minnesota actually did that study with aerobic athletes, actually found an increase in performance, the ability to actually do cycling at maximum output for a longer period of time with a greater generation of energy with lower stress in the heart with penta water compared to ordinary water. So a lot can be done there. But based on physical activity, atmospheric conditions, and that kind of thing, that will determine the amount of water a person needs to drink, in particular penta water.
And it's really the same feature that allows chemotherapy patients and athletes to do so well on penta water, which is the first feature is that it's rapidly absorbed. So if you're
right,
an athlete, you don't want to be sloshing a lot of water in your stomach while you're actually... doing athletics. And for chemotherapy patients, they can't go around. I mean, if the water isn't quickly absorbed, they get nauseated.
Exactly right.
Irritating.
So that rapid movement from the stomach into the bloodstream is critical. And that's why
marathon runners can use it,
triathletes, performers can use it. That makes all the difference. And the difference arises from the fact that Bill and Michael Holloway found a way to cause the big water clusters that commonly occur in water to be broken down to a more uniform, much smaller size. I mean, the name penta comes from the fact that the smallest cluster of water that's possible is 5 water molecules together. And the fact that the aquaporin water channel was discovered by Dr. Peter Arkwright at Johns Hopkins back in the 1980s, and he got a Nobel Prize for it in 2003, those aquaporins allow only single water molecules to go through one at a time. So if you have them in smaller clusters where the water molecules can more easily break off the clusters and go down the aquaporin water channels, you can more rapidly optimize the movement of water into the cell. And all this has been demonstrated by a number of very sophisticated laboratory experiments to actually prove that panda water hydrates at the cell level much more dramatically than ordinary water does.
Let's talk a little bit about the protective effects of clean water like penta that actually get into the cell on preventing DNA mutations.
That's an important point. They actually try to do this. When you actually try to cause DNA mutations, what you're doing, you're actually improving the ability of the DNA repair enzymes and the antioxidant enzymes and other enzymes involved in protection to work more efficiently. So these, most people don't realize there are systems in place to protect DNA, but all those systems are water-dependent. All the enzymes in our bodies, as I mentioned before, they are proteins that require water to maintain their three-dimensional structure that allow them to function. If the water is not there optimally to maintain the structure and the dynamic flexibility of those molecules, then they can't do their work. They can't repair DNA. They can't protect DNA. The antioxidant enzymes can't neutralize free radicals being generated to prevent the damage generated by these impaired electrons. So all the mechanisms in place in the cell to protect the cell from damage by chemical agents and so forth will not function optimally until all those mechanisms are thoroughly hydrated. And the superior hydration ability of penta water in the interior of the cell makes all the difference in the world. And that's how it protects the DNA and other structures from being damaged.
Right. Well, that's what got my attention, too, because anything we can do to decrease the cancer risk is important.
And then think about this. These are experiments where they deliberately tried to cause damage. But
right.
If you can do it in a situation where scientists are deliberately trying to cause damage, you can imagine how much protection you can give yourself by drinking panda water under ordinary conditions that people are exposed to every day. So
right.
This is what those kinds of experiments really strike me when I see scientists trying to deliberately cause a problem and that problem is blunted or thwarted by a simple down-to-earth natural agent. To me, is absolutely mind-boggling. It's really startling, and that's why we should be adding these kinds of things to our daily regimen.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to share about penta?
There are lots of things to talk about penta water. There's a lot of discussion in the health food industry about alkalinity and acidity, and I'm sure you've had other guests talking about this, how to neutralize acids. I mean, a lot of people don't realize acids are a natural byproduct of cell metabolism. When the cells are processing proteins and sugars and starches and so forth, they're producing substances that will generate an increase in acid concentration inside the cell and in the tissues and so forth. And it's important to keep that those acids under control because they can actually unravel proteins, they can accelerate the aging process and cause all kinds of damage. And the experiments have shown dramatically that if you are actually using penta water compared to ordinary water, you can actually dramatically decrease the concentration of acid inside of cells. So it's moving cells in a more alkaline direction. This is a big deal in the health food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Health food retailers talk about this all the time, but it's an important thing to realize. I mean, the human body naturally produces acids. It's even more dramatic in terms of athletes who are generating lactic acid from all their physical activity. By being able to minimize the effect of these acids that are produced in the body, then you go a long way in minimizing the damage done by the acid. Something else that really strikes me, and they've done all kinds of wild experiments around this, they've actually taken brain tissue from animals and put it into artificially produced cerebral spinal fluid. And with ordinary water, there was a dramatic decrease in the activity of those brain cells in that artificial cerebral spinal fluid. But when you make the fluid with penta water, the brain activity goes on at a relatively normal rate for at least 2 hours. It's really quite remarkable. I still can't fully explain that. But just by changing the water used to make an artificial cerebral spinal fluid, you help the brain cells survive longer. Now, it makes you wonder, what's going to be this kind of impact in terms of brain function that we see in human beings? It just came out yesterday, I believe, that a British research group said that men start to lose their mental function around age 45. Did you hear that?
Didn't hear that.
This came out yesterday.
Really?
From age 45 on, when men go downhill. I know your producer, Don, just want to hear this. But that's what happens. And it makes you wonder, what could we be doing to, and this is, of course, with average people, what
right.
could we doing be doing with nutrition and other things to maintain brain function longer in people? And if you can take this, use an experiment like this to take brain cells from animals and sustain brain function in an artificial cerebral spinal fluid much more dramatically simply by changing the water medium, what would happen if we change the medium, the cerebral spinal fluid basic medium in the brain on a day-to-day basis? It makes you wonder if we could sustain brain function longer.
There's no question. And all the free radicals that are forming. I interviewed Dr. Carlo, who did $20 million worth of research for the cell phone industry.
Yes.
And he found out that the mechanism by which cell phones increase the risk of neuroepithelial malignancy or brain tumors, certain types of brain tumors, is that it blocks the natural pathways to get rid of free radicals in the brain. Free radicals
right.
break up the DNA, as you know.
Yeah.
So there you go. And I would challenge all of our listeners to say that, you know, if you are talking on cell phones, you're increasing free radicals in the brain, and you need blocking devices for one thing that will help things not do that, but you can't block cellular telephone signals, you know, tower signals. There's a lot of electromagnetics you can't block, but penta water would help get rid of free radicals that are forming from things that you don't have control over.
Exactly right. Some of that research was done here at the University of Washington. There was a research, I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about, he did that research and found that antioxidants are very helpful, but you know, when you see something like water being able to do the same kind of thing or similar kinds of things, I need it's a whole regimen you can develop for people that will work.
And I'm not sure that antioxidants get into the brain in all cases.
Not all cases, particularly particular compounds. The vitamin C will get in there and other kinds of things, but it depends on what the blood-brain barrier will permit to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation, it was 20 years ago, with a medical doctor who called me and found that things like grapeseed extract was able to reduce his grandson's ADHD. And we both surmised it because of the fact that those flavonoids were actually increasing the integrity of the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so it's a number of things you can bring to bear in a situation like that. I mean, water, of course, is the most basic thing, but there are other things in nutrition that can also be brought to bear. Something else you and I guess will appreciate perhaps more than the general public is this whole issue of membrane potential. We take for granted this whole thing of what cell membranes do, especially in the nervous system and in the heart. You know, muscle tissue and nerve tissue has to move these electrical impulses around in order for them to do what they do. And if you've got, well, we know for a fact that if there's a disturbance in the membrane potential on the heart muscle cells, people are subject to things like cardiac arrhythmias, where the other parts of the heart other than the SA node initiate the action potential and can cause all kinds of problems. Of course, if you get things like ventricular fibrillation, then, you know, it's a fatal situation here. But if you can actually increase the membrane potential so it's much more difficult for other tissues to initiate that action potential, then you go a long way in protecting people from sudden death due to cardiac arrhythmias. Well, lo and behold, they found that by comparing penta water to ordinary water, you're actually enhancing the ability of cell membranes to maintain the appropriate potential on the membrane. So it's much more difficult to get the action potential moving inappropriately. It's a very protective effect on the heart. I mean, essentially fatty acids will do that, like the omega-3 fatty acids will help do that. But to find that something as simple as water does the same thing, I thought was quite impressive. That perhaps means more to you and me than it does to the average listener, but I thought you might find that interesting.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is. There's water is so basic to all intracellular and extracellular functions that it makes sense that a water that actually is able to get into the cell is quite important.
It's quite important. We also mentioned before that, the penta water has increased dissolving capacity. They actually found that penta water was able to dissolve calcium oxalate crystals, which are the main ones you find in kidney stones. Yes.
Well, that's important to anybody who has kidney stones.
Exactly. Calcium oxide
crystals
are more easily dissolved in panther water than ordinary water.
Yeah.
This was,
that makes sense.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Because those water molecules are able to more easily wrap themselves around the constituents of the crystals and so forth that made them more easily dissolved in the solution. So that's something else that people need to be aware of.
If people don't realize, too, that there are a lot of women on calcium supplements, and if they're drinking a lot of tea, the calcium is in the calcium supplement. The tea has oxalate, and you may be forming kidney stones, especially if you don't have a good hydration method.
And it's not just tea. When you think, I'm a strong advocate of green smoothies, but a lot of the greens that people use are rich in oxalates, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's why optimal hydration with pure water, in addition to what you're doing with the green smoothies and so forth, is extremely important. So this is the whole range of things that panther water can contribute to because of the microclustering. The fact is ultra, ultra, ultra pure. It takes 13 stages and 11 hours to make panther water. That's why it's the purest water I've found anywhere in the world. It's microclustered and has been documented to be such. I mean, other manufacturers make the claim for microclustering. This has actually been confirmed by the General Physics Institute of the Russian Academy of Sciences, which, by the way, produced four Nobel laureates in physics. They have confirmed the fact that it is microclustered and it's stable. Under ordinary conditions, it is stable in that microclustering structure. So it's probably the only scientifically verified water product of its kind anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's true. There's a huge amount of research, and I've not seen the body of research on this and other microclustered waters that are on the market.
Exactly.
The first microclustered water was actually Crystal Energy, I think. Do you remember that back then?
I heard the name. I didn't get into much detail.
Yeah, it was Patrick Flanagan who.
Patrick Flanagan.
Who developed microclusters with silica as a chemical agent. So, you know, I think what Penta did was do it with an ultrasonic or energetic.
Exactly. The
thing, which is a lot cleaner.
In a very small space, you actually slam the water molecules, use sound waves to slam the water molecules together. But it takes a long time to run a lot of water through a very small space. That's why it takes 11 hours to do it. But the result is quite spectacular in terms of what it can do for people, especially as people under extreme conditions. I know Bill Howley actually got letters, testimonies from people who were able to throw away their walkers. They were the elderly people who actually walk without walkers after using panther water.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been quite a phenomenon in the health food industry. When people
and we should also mention that fibromyalgia, which is actually Bill had from chemical exposure.
Bill has fibromyalgia,
Navy,
exactly right.
And I got from chemical exposure with breast implants.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I had one of my implants leak about 30 grams of silicone, so I didn't really need more silica. I used crystal water until Penta came out, but obviously I don't need more silica. I have plenty of it.
No.
So the Penta water is well documented to help fibromyalgia, which is at least in part chemical toxicity, also biotoxicity from mold, which is probably also helped by Penta, but especially the chemical toxicity. And I think, you know, with what's in the chemtrails and what's in our water, I mean our tap water and what's in our environment, we can pretty much say that most people in America anyway are toxic. Not all. It's interesting, a lot of people who were raised in third world countries are less toxic.
No, that's absolutely true because we have more chemical exposure in the modern industrialized world. It's funny to make a statement like that, but I think it's absolutely true.
Well, I'm doing it based on foot bath data, you know.
So yeah.
Some people get foot baths and they're absolutely clean, and you find out they were raised in foreign countries.
Yes, right.
The evidence is right there.
It's odd for us to say that to our modern American audience. It sounds odd to them, but I think it's absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, I think living in a third world country now is quite dangerous because of the degree of water and air pollution. I mean, in China, not that China's really third world, but China and India and other countries that are becoming now industrialized, it's quite dangerous to live there now. But if you grew up there you know, 30 years ago, you probably had a lot less toxicity.
Especially in the rural areas when you're away from the industrialized metropolitan centers and so forth.
Right.
That makes a big difference. One more thing I wanted to add that was really quite surprising is the fact that they found that when you're actually raising cells in laboratory culture and so forth, the penta water renders the cells much less likely to be infected by viral organisms, which is quite remarkable. They become more resistant to disease.
Yeah, that
makes you wonder about the cold and flu season we're going through. And this is a mild winter all across the country, but it does
make
you wonder about
that. So it must improve T cell immunity.
Yes.
As well as, I don't know. Cellular cultures, that's just an inherent, that would be an inherent protection. Unless there's T cells roaming around the culture.
That's right. No T cells are roaming around. This is simply a cell line culture with the penta water compared to ordinary water as a basic solvent used to make the medium. And it's really quite surprising that using penta water makes the cells more resistant to viral infection. I mean, these are really surprising things. I mean, the experiments have really been wide-ranging around this product, and it's just surprising what will happen simply by changing the water that's used to create the environment outside and inside the cell.
Well, it proves how important clean and properly clustered water is, which we've known for, I guess, probably since the 60s, and it's a safe way to do it because you're using energy rather than substances.
Exactly
and,
right.
I guess that's why we both drink it.
Exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
And then, speaking of energy, so one of the first experiments that Bill and Michael Holloway did was to actually try this water they invented on plants, and they found the plants grew faster.
Mm-hmm.
They also worked with ordinary household pets, cats and dogs. And found if you put an ordinary a bowl with ordinary water in it, a bowl of penta water, the animals will always prefer the penta water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really quite remarkable that even the animals and the plants respond to it.
All right. Well, we're coming up to the end of our half an hour. I want to thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure talking to you as usual.
My pleasure, Dr. Kolb. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb. We've been talking with Dr. Herb Bay Joyner about penta water and the science behind it and the importance of it. And so if you have an interest in that, you can check out the scientific studies on the penta water website. And we also have previous radio shows that can be accessed at, if you just Google Temple of Health penta water, they'll come up. Several shows that we've done in the past talk in detail about the scientific work around surrounding the water and the importance of it. Anyway, thanks a lot for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health. Join us next week.